Welcome everyone to an all new episode of Thick Ass Threes. I am your host, Cornell Feltman. I'm back with the boys, Stephen J. Miles, Coach Bobby Terry, and of course we have Stanley Allen. An all new episode happening now. Let's go. Welcome everyone to an all new episode of Thick Ass Threes. I'm your host, Cornell Feltman. Our podcast is hosted on Anchor with all episodes available on Spotify. Before we get started with the roll call, let's go down the list of important stuff. Make sure you guys follow us on Instagram. Make sure you follow us on Twitter and TikTok at ThickS3s. We're working on that OnlyFans. Haven't gotten there yet. Stan's doing push-ups and shit like that just to get his mind right.
Yeah, man. I show a little to get a little following.
I show a little to get a little. Make sure you guys follow us on Instagram. When you go there, make sure you click on that link. That'll take you to anchor.fm/thickest3s. Make sure you sign up. If you don't have other platforms to catch the podcast, you can create an account there. It's quick. It's easy. Make sure you follow us. Once again, I'm your host. Let's get into the show. We got a special guest with us today, and we also have a very special co-host with us today. He is with us. You with us? You the co-host. You. He's the special guest. You're the co-host.
Yeah. I thought he was asleep. Yeah.
I'm good. All right. We're going to go around the circle. Like always, Stanley, talk to the people.
Hey, man. I'm just glad to be back, you know, in here with a different group. Still my boys. We're missing Coach Terry.
Absolutely.
Stephen Jack. Steve Miles, the youthful.
Curmudgeon. Look at that. We're just playing off each other. That's pretty good, huh? Yeah. I don't know if you remembered it.
Remember what?
Youthful curmudgeon?
I did.
Oh, okay.
But it played well.
It did play well.
So we're going to move on to my man, to my right.
Cool.
Yeah. Jared Carruthers, also known as Swish Canvas. Speaking of which, you can follow me on IG, Twitter, Swish Canvas. Happy to be here with you guys. Stan gave me the invite, so, you know, I pulled up immediately.
Awesome. We're happy to have you. And our special co-host. Introduce yourself, Weez.
What's good? I'm Weezing.
Yeah.
Is that what we're going to do? I'm comfortable with that.
That's what we
do. Cool. Yeah. Let's start with Jared. Jared, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm good. You good?
What's going on in your life right now?
Man, just I'm getting ready to move. So that's probably the most major thing. I'm getting ready to move to Florida next month.
That's exciting.
Actually, the end of this month.
So. Where you headed? Where in Florida?
Tampa.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Ybor. Ybody. Ybor.
What's that?
I have no idea what that means.
Ybor City.
Huh? Oh yeah, actually, yeah, that does ring a bell.
Yeah, that's where all
that's a Floridian account. Thing.
That's the party spot.
Sure, I'll get more acquainted to that when I
Plant City.
Yeah.
Absolutely,
could be a good time moving down there with my lady.
So. That's exciting. Congratulations on that.
Yeah,
Stan, what's going on with you, man?
Same. I'm just working, hanging out, watching as much TV as I can. Went and saw that Top Gun Maverick.
Top Gun was top five. Ooh. Best. Movies of the year. And if there's any list of best movies, it's on it. Absolutely,
it's
on the list of best movies.
A lot. Yeah, it's made a lot of money.
It's Oscars? One of the best movies.
Oscar?
I've yet to see it.
I still ain't seen it yet.
So. Yeah.
Well, we won't ruin it for you, but if they're giving Oscars for those type of movies, I don't know what the guidelines are for the Oscars.
They cash in it?
Yeah, what's the criteria?
I have no idea, but if
is there a statute of
if they're on the list, they definitely need what's up, man?
Good, bro. Y'all talk. I like this shit.
Weezy, what's going on with you, man? Talk to the people.
Oh man, Weezy, just I'm steady working, you know.
Yeah.
We all alive. Let's do this.
Stan, you want to tell the people about your before we get started your new purchase, your big purchase.
Which purchase?
This purchase right here.
Oh, the bed. Yeah, we had to adjust the podcast room a little bit, so that when it's not in use, it can be a functional guest room.
I mean, it's nice quality. It's thick.
Yeah, it's comfortable.
That thing is thick now.
Paul,
you talk about beds on here.
We talk about everything.
we're just getting Tempur-Pedic.
We're getting started. We're gonna jump into it.
See my fingerprints.
Yeah, you gonna jump into another man's bed?
What?
You said we gonna jump into.
On that note, we'll be right back after this quick commercial
break. On the bed, bro.
Yeah. And we're back. You guys have been listening to Thick Ass Threes. Once again, I'm your host, Corner Phone. We're here with our special guest, Jarrett. Jarrett, let's jump into it, man. Where are you from? Born, hometown? Where you call home?
I am from Prince George's County, Maryland.
Oh, right down
PG
the street.
PG County, yep. So hey. I was born in Cheverly, Maryland, so that's right outside of like Largo. But then I, as I grew older, I went to Bowie High School.
Okay.
So I graduated from there, born and raised. All my friends live in that area, so I'm well acquainted with the DMV area in general.
Okay. Now, our connection is always sports.
Yeah.
Our friend group, this house, sports connects a lot of people. You were an athlete, basketball player.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you have any other hobbies, or was it always just sports?
I mean, I played all kinds of sports, obviously, growing up.
What was your best? Growing up,
I was nice at soccer, man.
I've never heard anyone say they were nice
man,
at soccer.
I was fast always out the womb. I was fast, and you know I had good like lateral quickness. So I was good at that midfield. I never really got the shooting down, but I could pass. I could anticipate plays. And
wait
stuff.
A minute, so you play soccer and you never scored?
I scored, but I just wasn't the scorer. You feel me? No, I was midfield. So I'm dishing and I'm setting the dudes up and stuff, or getting the steals in mid.
Did you play that in high school, or was that like a youth?
I played that up until middle school. So the sports I played in, high school were football and basketball. Okay. So
what position in football did you play?
I played running back. I had a really bad fumbling problem, so that didn't really last long. But I was quick though. Like I mean, that quickness thing was always there. So I score, but there was I'd fumble sometimes.
And I'm sure Stanley told you about my football greatness back in the little league.
Yeah, he did actually. I think the first time I came over here, he was talking about that.
Listen, I appreciate that, Stan. Because I got a story.
Talking about it. It was a comical situation.
Yeah, he was making light of it, but you can tell when somebody's giving you respect though. You know what I'm saying? It's playfully.
Come on, man. I was a beast, boy. 28 sweep. Go stupid.
Yeah, that was my play.
Yeah, look, 28 sweep. Go stupid. Come on, man.
Back.
That shit goes stupid. All right, man, let's stick with you. So soccer was something that you enjoyed. Did you play baseball? Anything like that?
Yeah, I played baseball, but that was like middle school stuff too. Like I played baseball, but I ain't be like being in the heat. It's a little slow paced game, but now that I'm older, I feel like I should have stuck with it more.
I respect that.
See how much dudes is getting paid.
When did you start playing basketball? Like really focusing on playing hoops?
I'd probably say about middle school, because I was all my friends were like, everybody going through puberty and stuff. And all my friends was trying out for the team. All my friends actually pretty talented. One of my friends was actually about to go to DeMatha.
Oh, nice.
I mean, I'm sure you guys know, like, it's a pretty high prominent school. So it kind of made me feel like, all right, I need to get it together. Because I like to play ball and stuff, but I never really thought of it as like, if I train at it, I could be good at it. So
okay,
probably like around 8th grade.
What high school? Bowie?
Bowie High School.
Okay, yeah. And did you play there at Bowie?
Yeah, I was actually pretty good at Bowie. For the 2 years I was on varsity, I was actually pretty decent. So
you look like a point guard, your stature.
Yeah, I mean, I play like the combo guard, so I can dish it and stuff, but I can shoot the ball really well and get my own shot. So, I felt pretty valuable in the offensive end.
I can dig that. Let me get some clarification, though. Some validation.
Yeah.
Could he shoot it?
He can shoot it.
Can he shoot it?
Yeah. He was like that Vinny Johnson come off the bench, six man type shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
As soon as he come in, he wasn't brought in for his defense.
I think when I first got to Frederick, I had just like started like getting into like what my confidence level was going to be in terms as a hooper. So like the player Stan sees isn't even the player that I became a year later after I transferred from there. So so when I first got there, I was pretty much
shooter.
Oh, my bad. That's me.
Hey, hold on 1 second. We're going to take a quick break. We'll
sorry,
be right back.
Sorry.
And we're back. You guys have been once again listening to Thickest Three. Sorry about that. We had a little, we got some construction or one of our neighbors moving outside, and they're making a lot of noise and banging. So it just knocked us off track for a second. But we're back. We're back on track. Jared, let's keep it rolling. We were talking about high school. We were talking about college. Let's talk about some of the highlights. Let's talk about some of your highlights of high school career. You said 2 years on varsity, and let's talk about some of your highlights at Frederick.
High school was good. I mean, we were always pretty dominant. Like my junior year, we had like a couple guys that went Division I, and we just had a bunch of guys that could hoop, honestly, and we were better than everyone. High school, my junior year, I think we got to like the second round of like the county playoffs.
Okay.
And we lost. It was like one of those, that team's supposed to make it and they don't, like the Phoenix Suns.
Got it.
Yeah, so that was us, both my junior and senior year, honestly. But we lost in the first round my senior year. We only lost like two games in the regular season. So,
okay.
And, I was all county, all met. All-Star. I played in the All-Star game. You know, so I did all right my senior year. I averaged like 20-something a game.
What year were you all met?
My senior year.
Your senior year, what year was that?
2010.
2010, welcome to the club.
Yeah.
Me,
yeah.
You, Stanley, no? We, go ahead, damn. Man. Hey, listen. Go ahead, Jared, man. Me and you.
Yeah.
Welcome to the club.
I'm an unofficial member.
Yeah.
You don't even know what we're talking about
I
right
know
now.
It. I had a few 30 balls. I had a 30 ball on Oxon Hill right down the road. Yeah, nice. I did a little something in high school.
Nice. What about
that's what got Frederick coming.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Stanley, what role did you play in that? When did you... You met him when he got to Frederick, or did you recruit him from high school to Frederick?
I didn't recruit him. He was one of the players my first year coaching, though. He was he was a guard for us that we counted on him to light it up.
Stan used to scout him out.
I scout him.
We scout.
But he was not my scout. I would have scouted him, though.
Yeah, no, yeah. I wasn't. I would have brought him on. But yeah, once I met Stan, though, I was automatically like, yeah, it's a cool dude.
Stan is all right.
Good
that's
coach.
What they say. I mean, Stan the man.
He's decent.
He's not going to sugarcoat nothing.
Well, no, definitely not that.
Yeah.
So you go through Frederick.
Yeah.
How many years were you at Frederick?
Just one year? Yeah.
Okay, where'd you go after that?
So then after that, I went to a school in Virginia called Shenandoah University.
I know Shenandoah.
Yeah. So I finished my career there. I had a 1,000-point score in college, you know, that kind of accolade. But our teams, we have a bad coach. I don't want to point blame or like, you know, kind of just deflect accountability, but
I hear you.
We had good talent. I mean, I feel like I know basketball, and I know dudes that could hoop, and I feel like we had some guys that could really bump given the right situation. And I feel like our coach didn't really put us, for example, my senior year we started off like 12-3, and then we got into the conference, and you know, teams make adjustments, they start scouting players. One dude on my team was averaging 25 a game. I was averaging like 18-19. So they were like, you know, scouting to cover either one of us. And, you know, whoever they were able to shut down, the other person wasn't able to carry the weight for the rest of it. So, we lost a bunch of games down the stretch that we shouldn't have lost.
Got it. I can dig that. I think we've all been there.
Yeah.
Everyone in this space has been there. Mm-hmm. So you finish school. What's the plan? What's the plan as you're getting out of school? Did you want to further the hoop career? Did you want to go and do different things? What was next for you?
Well, I've always been a pretty smart dude. Like, even in high school, I got good grades, like over 3.0s and shit. So, when I saw kind of like I wasn't having enough exposure to really go pro. I mean, I did have a couple like pro options, but they were like, you know, low level, like you were only making 40K a year type vibe. So, I just thought about that and just thought about how intelligent I was and how well I was doing in school and how I could maximize a degree, you know, and I looked at my options and, you know, I majored in business for undergrad. So then I looked at my options and I kind of just saw the ceiling of money I could make, and then just kind of wrote out a plan. Like, you know, I decided to go to grad school after that as well. So just mapped out a little plan of how I could maximize like just my earning potential in terms of, because I really didn't know what I wanted to do, but I knew what companies were looking for, what the kind of high demand fields were going to be. So I just kind of structured my education on that. So when I did kind of find what I want to do, I'd be making money doing it. You know?
That's beautiful. Hey man, that sounded very intelligent and well put together.
Eloquently spoken.
We didn't have to worry about Jared's grade cards.
Yeah, my grades is always
good. Yeah, we had other people grade cards we had to worry about.
You had to worry about one of them. Not him.
Yeah, I get the work done. I'm one of them people though that don't gotta study and I'm gonna get an A on the test if I just listen in class a little bit.
My man. I like that. Weez, what kind of student were you?
That, yeah.
I was a good student. I ain't gonna say confrontational. I questioned a lot of things.
Not you. You didn't question anything, did you?
Yeah,
Sweezy baby.
Definitely made a teacher like, oh, they love me. They just didn't like the way I may have presented it to them. It's my disturbing, but I don't know. They love it.
Jared, back to you.
Yeah.
You mentioned it earlier with your IG handle.
Mm-hmm.
Music has become a big part of your life.
Yeah.
When did that become a big part of your life? Let's talk about that for a second.
I'd say right around 2018. Without getting too much into it, you know, I don't get along with my mom the best. So, you know, we don't have the best situation. So it's hard, you know, especially as a man, to be able to like open up about those films, be able to talk to outlets about that. So, you know, that combined with just listening to music that was current at that time and just hearing how terrible it sounded and other people that I knew that were trying to like get into the music thing and like make music and things like that, and I would hear their songs and just I'd be like, I mean, I can can make something better than this. I know I can. I know I can be more musically inclined than this. So that kind of just motivated me to be like, you know, why not just use that as an outlet to vent, and then two, see if it actually sounds good and maybe push it. So, you know, I kind of, my first project that I put out, I engineered, you know, completely by myself, self-taught on YouTube on how to like get the software, produce it, mix it, master it, and
nice,
yeah, and put it out, and people was vibing with it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah,
Stanley, you played something for me, right?
Yeah, a song called
A While Ago.
Yeah,
what was it called?
A While Ago. Venue, one of his songs. Yeah,
yeah, happened to be on my like
top 100.
Yeah,
I listened to 4 songs the most for the year, and it popped up on one of my feeds, letting me know that this was most popular. It's Spotify.
Yeah, Spotify breaks down like your most listened to art or songs over the year. Like gives you a year breakdown, like around the new year. And my song was like 3rd, I think, or something like that on his list. So,
I
was like, that's love. That's love, man. That's love.
Check this out.
Yeah, that's love, man. Because I put some effort into it, and I feel like I'm actually talking about, you know, actual shit people can relate to. So I fuck with when somebody actually can vibe with it and
that's awesome.
Give me some props on it.
All right, that's awesome. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we get back, we'll jump into some sports and talk some hoops and stuff like that. NBA Finals. We'll be right back.
Next Home Investment. Next Home is a family-owned real estate solutions company focused on providing homeowners in the DMV with solutions to all their concerns. Alan and Keisha Smothers will help you in all situations from divorce, foreclosure, death of a family member, and so much more. Their goal is to provide a win-win real estate solution experience. They provide cash offers and quick closing. That's Next Home Investment. You can find them online at nexthomeinvestment.net or give them a call at 202-802-0642. Next Home Investment.
And we're back. You guys have been listening to Thick as Threes. Conversation has been great. Jared's caught us up on what he's been into, what he did growing up, sports. We topped it off with the music, which we'll circle back to and talk more about that. But let's talk NBA Finals. Everybody in this room is a basketball sports guy. Let's talk Finals. Weezy, you watching the games? What you think? Who you got? Talk to me now.
Oh, man. It is exciting. It is what basketball needs right now. No, it's this series is it can go either way. I mean, with the
back
injury,
and forth,
it's like I say.
You say injuries?
Yeah,
I mean, who's injured?
Steph apparently got injured.
Steph Curry is the softest.
You think it was intentional?
No, he jumped on the floor, but he's the softest. Is Steph Curry the softest superstar there is in these streets?
I don't know about that one. I feel like it's a little too far.
He's a little fragile.
More soft than Devin Booker?
Nah.
He can't be softer than Devin Booker.
They're in the same tier, though. They're in the same tier.
Ask Jared the question of which one he wants.
Who, Devin Booker or Steph Curry?
No, Devin Booker or
Jason Tatum?
Tatum.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Which one? Who's?
So, you know, I'm going to have to go with Steph all the way.
No.
Oh, which one?
Devin Booker? Or Jason Tatum?
Jason Tatum, 100%. Yeah. 100%. Jason Tatum can defend. He's got more size. He can shoot the rock maybe just as well as him. He rebounds the ball consistently. And he's shown in this playoffs that he can average double-digit assists, if not 8-plus a game. So he's and Devin Booker's been a superstar for like 2.5-3 years now. Jason Tatum's just getting that conversation now, entering into this kind of, even though he's been in the finals 3 times, you know, carried his team all, you know, without Kyrie being there, you know, when he was supposed to be there and not there, you know. So I'm just saying, Jason Tatum all the way by far. I don't like Devin Booker. I mean, I like Devin Booker. He's got a great game. I just don't like Devin Booker as a character person. And that means a lot for me as a superstar.
Stamped.
Hmm?
I'm going with Tatum as well.
I ain't mad at you.
Weezy, you never finished your thought. Who you got?
Oh, I already told you. It's Tatum.
You're taking Tatum? Are you a Celtics fan?
No.
Who you like?
It's a juggle, baby. Just, I love the game.
That's how I feel about the NBA, too, though. NFL, I'm going to pick my team, but the NBA, I just love watching.
Who's your NFL team?
Who's your NFL team?
Fan of
the Commanders.
Oh, sorry.
The who? Yeah, we might as well just trash this whole podcast now for even saying their name on here.
You need Coach Terry here, who is diehard.
Yeah, I mean, I love him. I'm going to rock with him, but...
They got a lot going on over there.
Moment of silence.
All right, let's go back to this NBA Finals. Let's talk about Draymond Green. Is he playing chess or is he just an idiot? Because Robert Parrish said he's an idiot.
If he's playing chess, he's a pawn. Because his value is not as big as everybody else's.
The dude got
Oh, man, I cannot stand Draymond.
What are our thoughts? Let's talk about it. What are our thoughts?
A screw missing in his fucking head.
Yeah, something ain't right, man. It's like...
Is he...
Like, in my generation, there's no way you should be rooting for Boston. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like, I'm rooting for Boston.
Yeah.
Just because I don't like Draymond Green. I don't.
But what is he? I mean, he's instigating things that don't necessarily need to be instigated. Like, no, he's just all over the place.
It's his whole persona. And yeah. It's like, he's not as good as people think he is.
He's nice, but he ain't that. Yeah, he's that player that you like.
And this is my problem with Draymond. He's like extremely self-righteous, you know, like thinks that his level of intelligence. There's a few guys in the NBA that are publicly in the spotlight a lot that act like this. Like, it's a privilege for us as the tax-paying fans to be watching their talent, to be asking them questions and things like that. So he acts like he knows more than everybody else, and really he's detrimental to the team because he's not good enough to say these things and then carry it as much as he is. And I don't think he expected Jaylen Brown to turn up for 17 points in the first quarter while he was guarding him like that. So now he can't even back up what he was saying because the dudes is hooping on him. They taking that and said, okay, we're going to hoop. See what happens. And dude fouled out with 2, 4, and 3.
He's having a rough time. I'm going to take it just a different direction just for a second. Draymond Green, is he a Hall of Famer?
He's going to make the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. I'm about to say the truth is he will be a Hall of Famer just because of his situation. He profited off a very nice situation, three championships.
I don't think
he's a terrible player. He's a bum.
I don't think he's
a bum. He's a bum.
He's a bum.
Anybody can.
He got grandfather. Like, he's gonna get a grandfather.
It's like
Hall
how
of Fame,
I feel
right?
about Eli Manning. Like, to me, he's the worst quarterback in the Hall of Fame. Yeah. He's in the Hall of Fame.
Just watch the Warriors' offense. So their big man is primarily at the top of key giving off handoffs. Okay, I can get 6 or 7 assists a game by passing it to Clay. And then when it's time for you to actually be the enforcer, be the rebounder, you're not doing it. You haven't done it all playoffs.
Defensively, one thing I liked about him.
That's when they had college. Size behind him.
Well, in college, one thing I definitely liked about him in college, even coming into the NBA, like he played hard.
Yeah,
he played hard.
And he talked a lot less. He talked a lot less,
but he played hard on the boards, you know what I'm saying? He defended around the perimeter. Yeah. Like, he stuck to what he had.
Well, last night, Jaylen Brown was like, nah, get out of the way.
Yeah, he went right at him. I like that.
Nah, I got Draymond.
I like that.
I don't need you to scream for me.
I wanted the Warriors to win before this series started. Now, I do not like the Warriors at all besides Steph. I don't even like how Klay Thompson's talking. So I just don't like their energy.
Klay Thompson, speaking of, and he's struggling right now, isn't he? Last game was better than the game before, right. But he's struggling coming into. Is that because he was offered 2 years, you think? Injury?
You could just tell Klay's one of those guys. One of these hoopers we all know that's counting his stats after the game, counting how many shots he made, looking at Twitter to see who was talking about him, and all that. I'm serious. And all that is internalized, and it affects his game.
What they say.
Like, he's talking in the press conference about, I'm going to go watch YouTube highlights of myself to focus myself for the next game. No, how about you focus on getting assists, getting boards? They're blitzing you off of every screen. Why not pump fake and go to the cup, get to the foul line? I mean, that's just me. As a coach, I'd be telling him that. But, you know.
I think the Celtics going to pull it off. I kind of.
They have to. They have to. They deserve it.
I mean, I don't know if it's more of that. Well, maybe it's the deserving thing. But it's something. It's that green. Even though for our like, it's that.
They the definition of blue collar, though. They're not talking a whole bunch. They're not being a bunch of petty.
Yeah, like, I like the guys.
Boston. Yeah.
It's old the city school. Of Boston.
Yeah, it's
yeah, I like the only reason I don't want them to win because it's Boston. But that team, I like them boys. They be hooping. I like Al Horford at 40. He's hooping. He's hooping.
Al Horford is a bucket now.
Yeah, he's hooping.
Huh?
Stanley. For the most part.
He's a bucket. So who we got? What you got? What's the series? It's 2-1 right now.
It's going to go 6 games.
You got Boston 4-2.
It's not going 7 games.
You got Boston 4-2.
Four two.
Jared?
I got Boston 4-3. It's going 7 just because of how much viewership has gone up this year in the finals.
Wait a minute. What's a conspiracy theory?
Oh, I'm all about these, especially with the NBA, because look at how many, one, blowouts we've had. How many, like, false narratives that when the game started to be something completely different. Look at this entertainment soap opera we got with Draymond Green. He couldn't even play yesterday because he's too focused about trying to antagonize the other players or get the ref involved.
Referee, yeah.
It's a bunch of, like, soap opera stuff. So, of course, it's going to go 7.
So, you think they're going to extend it just for more Draymond? It is on ABC, so they might
Draymond's going right to the podcast after the game. They know what's going on.
I heard him talk about that podcast.
His rod, man. That's what he's doing. He's channeling his
But Rodman going out there and give you 20 boards.
Well, I mean, but he's his,
consistently.
Isn't what Rodman did.
Now, yeah. Rodman, you want Rodman or you want Draymond's name?
Rodman. Come on, Draymond.
I'm just asking a question here. That's just my role. I'm just here asking a question.
Ask me another player.
You're not a fan of Draymond at all.
Do you think it was uncalled when they were saying F you and the fans was saying F you to Draymond? You see his wife was going off on Instagram.
It happens all the time.
Whose wife?
Draymond Green was talking about they shouldn't be able to scream curse words. There was kids at the game.
You can't stop them.
Right.
You can't stop a whole crowd.
Well, wait a minute. That's weird that you would say that, because you were a huge on the other side of the Carmelo Anthony talking to people in the fans.
I was on the other side. How?
You said that the fans shouldn't be able to talk to him.
No, that's not what I said. That's what the youthful curmudgeon said.
What did you say?
I said there's limits to what you can say to a man.
Well, you can't say fuck you.
Yeah, you can say fuck you.
The whole crowd was cheering it.
You can say fuck you. And the whole crowd saying it. It's not like one dude.
Draymond.
It's not one dude sitting on the sideline talking about, I pay your salary, bitch.
So that was a personal thing. That's your
personal
problem.
Thing. One-on-one.
Clay also had words for the fans.
But that's in legality form. It's legal for them to say that. So legal and cannot. It's not the question. We're talking about shit. You
ain't gonna say. No, it's code of conduct.
I'm just saying. You just said, well, a person can say anything to mean. Okay, well, what you may say to him that's defensive may make you click.
Yeah.
All right, listen.
Throwing something at somebody is something different.
No, I want you talking about saying anything. Let's talk about Stephen A. Smith. Right?
That's my dog.
You like Stephen A. Smith?
I don't. I mean, obviously, I feel like a lot of his takes are exaggerated and like dumb as hell. But he gonna speak his mind and stand by his point. I gotta respect it. Like, he gonna say what he's saying and he gonna stand by it. And then if you come back with him, he gonna come back with receipts about why he's standing on his point.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk about the new coach, Darvin Ham.
Yeah,
for the Lakers. Stephen A. Smith had some comments that he didn't think Russell Westbrook should have come to the press conference, or was questioning why he was at the press conference. I'm not exactly sure. But why does it matter?
Dumbest hell takes.
So are you more familiar with what he said?
Yeah, I watched First Take when him, JJ, and CJ McCollum were all talking about it, and he pretty much was saying that because there's been rumors about the Lakers trying to trade him or move him and things like that, he was disappointed that Russell showed support by coming to the press conference knowing that the Lakers possibly could be getting rid of him.
It makes no sense at all.
Yeah, I mean, that was the consensus between everyone. I mean, he should show support regardless, in my opinion.
Absolutely. But, I mean, he's still, until he's moot.
Yeah.
He's a Laker.
He's still in that purple and gold.
He's not a part of any other
until he's moved.
I feel you.
Keep the positive energy on.
But the rumor mill been going since the season ended. Where they going to trade him? They got to get this cap money off. He got to go.
But even Darvin Ham came in talking about how much he loved Westbrook's game.
Do you think that was because he was standing right there, though?
He's got to say that.
He's got to say
Russ was standing right. The camera panned right to Russell Westbrook.
So,
right, what he said.
How about this?
Why would Russ
not want to be show support? Right. What if, let's just say hypothetically, what if, truthfully, he is about to be traded?
Okay.
Okay, so.
Ain't got nothing to do with Darvin Ham.
I understand that, but we're going by Stephen A's just point of view of what he's seen that. So,
yeah, it was an idiotic point of view.
Truman is rude. It's true that he's going to get traded. So, do you feel, I mean, is it wrong for him to come support?
No, would it be wrong?
Why would it be wrong? No,
absolutely. Well, honestly, I think it's going to end miserably, if I'm being honest, because if you listen to Darvin Ham's interview, he spoke a lot about, after he spoke about the Russell Westbrook thing, and then they kind of asked him what kind of role he was going to use him in, And he kind of pretty much just said, you know, it's going to be about sacrifice. Everybody's going to have to sacrifice, especially on the defensive ending, blah, blah, blah. So then, like a couple days later, they interviewed Russell Westbrook and asked him, you know, what his thoughts were about coming, maybe coming off the bench. And, you know, Russell Westbrook pretty much scoffed at it, you know. So it's kind of like, you know what his mindset is. He wants to be a part of the Lakers as long as he's a focal point or is going to have his triple-double type, you know, thing. So any other type of outside role, he's going to, you know, ruffle feathers with it.
Westbrook coming off the bench is not an option.
Not yeah, at never. All.
If
never.
I'm his agent, not, it's not an option.
You never accept that. Making 140 mil.
Yeah, he's still got some young legs. He's not an option.
I was talking about Tyler Hero.
Uh-huh.
They're saying he's like, trade me.
Trade to the Lakers?
They're going to have to because he's not going to start.
If I'm not coming off the bench.
He said he's not going off the bench.
If I'm coming off the bench, trade me. Remember I said that the other day? We were sitting down and I was like.
I remember this. But he thinks he's a starter.
Is Tyler Hero even a starter? Oh yes. No.
He's a starter.
No.
You say it like no. He's absolutely like it's not. Yeah.
Absolutely we have. I'm not saying he's a starter for the Miami Heat.
Who's he a starter for then?
Name one team.
Maybe the Oklahoma. Rockets. And he might not even start on this team.
Oklahoma.
He might not even start on Oklahoma.
Team.
City.
Oklahoma.
Just throwing a team.
You're not okay. I'm gonna tell you why he wouldn't start in front of Oklahoma City though, because you got Dort playing the two, and you got SGA at the one.
Yeah, Dort's coming off the bench.
Oh, you crazy.
Bringing that defense
Dort's
off the bench.
Dort's had 40-point games this year.
And Tyler Hero's sixth man of the year.
Yeah, sixth man. Come off the bench.
Come off the bench is where you live. Stand 20 minutes.
Sixth man of the year.
Come off the bench is where you live.
Jamal Crawford is a career sixth man. You know, there's career sixth man.
But if you are...
Tyler Hero might be one of them guys.
Yeah, he might be overstepping a little bit.
If you make him that...
Jordan Clarkson, a career sixth man.
Jordan Clarkson is a premier sixth man. You're telling me he's not a starter somewhere else?
No. Because Jordan Clarkson's game isn't built to start and manage a game. He's built to come in and give you a bucket, then come sit down for five more minutes. Now come in again when we need a bucket. Jordan, can you ever see Jordan Clarkson coming down, setting up the offense for 30 minutes, controlling
absolutely
the
not
game?
Yeah, he's exactly. not. No, I don't want him to do that.
So, okay.
I want him to score the ball.
We've seen too many times six men guys get into
starting
roles. Is he from the
60s? I want him to score the ball.
But I mean,
Tyler, score the ball.
Tyler is a different character player to Clarkson. So, I mean.
Victor Oladipo taking those minutes anyway.
He could be a starter.
I don't like him better than Tyler Hero.
You don't like Victor Oladipo better than Tyler Hero?
What he's been doing for the last 2-3 years? No.
Listen.
What he was in Indiana?
Victor Oladipo is coming off injury, first of all. Two quad injuries.
Listen.
But that's a part of my
and he still played
making.
Better than Tyler Hero in this year's playoffs.
Listen,
did he?
Listen. We got to get that money. We got to get that money. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. We'll take this conversation to Instagram. We'll put up some posts. We'll be right back. And we're back. You guys have been listening to Thick as Threes. Once again, I'm your host, Cornell Felton. We're going to keep the conversation going, but we're going to hit you with just a couple quick hitters before we circle back to Jared and the conversation about music, because we got some things we want to discuss there. So, fellas, South African boxer just died on Tuesday. If you've seen the video, it's wild to watch. In the middle of the fight, he just kind of turns around and starts boxing the opposite corner where there was no one else. There was no one in the corner. He just kind of turned. Obviously, they said he had a major brain damage, which is just wild to see. Weezy, did you see this? I know you said you heard a little bit, or you just saw the video?
I seen the video. It was...
it's wild, right?
He just turned around and started hitting the other corner, just, you know, like he fighting.
So you're saying that he died due to the brain damage?
He definitely died due to the
brain damage.
That really says something about how we push our bodies so much to the point where, like... We killing ourselves because
for boxers, yeah.
Sports where you know you're getting a hit in the head, though. You know what I mean? And you're repeatedly still going through it.
Let me ask you this question: the world. I just read an article earlier today. World Medical Association came out with a study about traumatic brain injuries, and they are a opponent of ending boxing altogether. They say it's worse than other sports. What do you think of that, Stanley? I know you're not a boxing fan, so give me your thoughts on that.
It's tough because the boxers know what they're getting into. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
In any sport, any type of job in life, the person going into it knows what they're getting into.
Absolutely.
So I mean, of course, there's regulations and everything, but to say all together, it's not going to be, we're not doing this. It's a little different. It might be drastic. I don't know.
I mean, it's crazy because I watched, I think it was Sports Science or something like that, but it's like the equivalent of like getting knocked out or getting hit by like Mike Tyson and getting knocked out is like the same as a head-on collision at like 70 miles an hour. So it's like you could die one time from that. So you boxing every day or, you know, training and sparring and
stuff. Bullshit. They ain't gonna stop this.
I mean, yeah, it's too much money. The bottom line is money control. Money trumps everything. So,
which is a conversation we had years ago, Mike Tyson in his prime, $100,000. You got to go three rounds in the ring. You getting in?
Not for $100,000. No,
$100,000 in his prime.
Not three rounds.
You got to make it three rounds. Too low. If you get knocked out, you get no money.
Professionals didn't make that. Professionals
can't make that. Yeah,
you need telling me as an amateur to go in there for $100K.
So I know Jared's answer.
The professional first gonna be like a mil.
Three rounds.
Hold on for a second.
You got to take that three round stipulation out of there.
Hold on. To train. I mean, 30 seconds.
Hold on.
Hold on. Shit.
Like, we do that.
Listen. You get as long as you want. You get a year to train. You don't need that long. You get 6 months.
You'll be training like dude and hustle.
You get 6 months to train. $500,000.
You got 15 years of training.
It needs to be a million or more.
This is the point.
That's about $1 million purse or more.
Three rounds. Three rounds. Like you can't.
I'll be dead.
Yo, gonna break it down.
My family gonna be straight because I'm gonna have that.
I gotta have a set amount that I get. I'm gonna file for life insurance
right before the fight.
Oh good.
I'll be filed for a ridiculous amount.
I'll change it. No good. I'll change it. You have to make it three rounds for $10 million. If you don't make it,
but
you get zero. Jared, hold on for a second.
I get how much?
Hey, Jared, you got to stop drinking that drink so loud on
it. It's the ice. It's honestly the ice.
$10 million, three rounds. You got a box. You got to make it $1 million, guaranteed.
Bro, no.
I'm in. A million guarantee?
Million guarantee. So three it, rounds, I'm 10
in third round.
I'm in.
No so good. So does yeah, making you it worried third about round?
A headshot, Weezy. I'm going to take a gut shot.
That's going to put you down.
I'm not going to tell you when I walk out of there.
If you can't stand back up, you're not going to be able to finish.
At some point, I'm going to stand back up, Jared.
With three broken ribs? That's probably tough, man.
Hey, man. Insurance ain't paying out no million for no three broken ribs?
I don't think so. Like he was saying.
So does it... Does it count as making it to the third round when the second round, the ding ding, you hear the bell?
Oh, no, Jared, don't think about that money. That money not coming, bro. All you're getting is the million, bro. You got to think of it that way. All you're getting is the million.
$500,000 plus going towards your medical bill.
Let's keep the conversation going. I was downstairs earlier messing with the bikes, and I saw some golf clubs. Stanley claims to be somewhat of a golfer.
Somewhere I can hit three clubs, bro. So I'm not really a golfer.
Okay, so you're not a
driver,
golfer.
Pigeon wedge, putter.
And that's about right. That's about.
So
me
I gotta
too.
Pull any other club out the bag. It's not gonna be good.
But I've seen you at Topgolf, and your drive game is not really.
It's
legit.
Straight. No. It's straight. I'm not crushing it 400 yards.
Elevated playing at golf.
I'm not crushing it. Every now and then, it's gonna roll to 300 yards, but I can hit the driver straight. And those are the only three clubs that I can hit straight.
All right, let's talk PGA versus LIV, LIV.
Give them that money.
What are your thoughts, Weezy?
Give them that money. If they want to play outside, I see nothing wrong. A little extra money. It ain't hurting nobody.
Yeah, it's like some temper tantrum type.
Yeah, it's to me, I don't think, I mean, it ain't like they playing some... You know,
it's crazy how petty rich dudes beat them. Yeah, they looking everybody at got money.
They're looking at it like you're threatening. You're threatening our business. Existence, yeah. Our business. You're gonna cut into our money.
Yeah, like when you go to another place.
I mean, it's the same players. Yeah, it's not like the LIV gonna get these players to play against the PGA players.
Exactly. But the bottom line is, you know, let them do what they want. Yeah, eventually, those players are gonna be able to play in whatever they want.
That's all.
Because it's not. Yes, you can't have monopolies on shit.
It's a game, like, you know. Yeah, in their eyes, it's like, okay, we play here in the PGA, but here we can go over here. Like, yeah, I've been wanting to. I want to play against this motherfucker again. You know, I want to. You know, it's practice. Okay, he feels
better.
It ain't
practice. The money they giving out.
No, it's still practice. Still, I'm saying
it's a lot of money.
It's the money, but it's the. Right. I ain't gonna say the word
practice. It's the art and the love of playing the game.
Sharpening golf. But that's not what it's about.
How are you saying it's not what it's about? It's about that money and playing the game of golf.
You can play the game of golf in the PGA. What they're giving out and live.
That's what I'm talking about.
LIV.
LIV.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm just saying. Yeah, it ain't about. They're giving out more money than the PGA.
So
you come get this money.
But like, why do they ban the players? So you think if the players back out of playing in the LIV, then PGA will unban them, or is it a moot point?
In the restrictions or whatever, but yeah. Like from jump, PGA been like, y'all go fuck with them, you ain't fucking with us.
Yeah.
From jump.
Yeah. Line in the sand.
Yeah, they drew a line in the sand, and that's creating a monopoly.
Yeah.
And that legally, that's not
I mean, it can't really
acceptable. So PGA ain't gonna be able to hold on to it, but for so long.
I hear you.
Make noise now.
I hear you.
Because later, them players gonna be able to do what they want to do.
And it's tough if you are the 100th ranked golfer in the world. I don't know how many golfers there are professionally. Is there a number? Yeah, do you know?
I'm sure there's a number.
Is there a cap?
I don't know what it is.
It's a number.
Let's say there's 250 players. No, let's say 300 players on the PGA store on the PGA tour. If you come in last place, you get $0. On this new tournament, this new live, if you come in last, you get $120,000 for work, 4 days.
That's what I'm saying.
Listen, it's hard not to do it, right?
Yeah.
But let me just take this to another direction. I just thought about this. I don't know if me and you talked about this, Stanley, or did I put this in the text message earlier? How come other sports spinoffs, if you will, are not successful?
Like, so, like the USFL?
The USFL or just anything. I'm going to be very controversial right now and say the WNBA.
I knew that was coming.
I was is the WNBA a spinoff?
But I mean, how come these second tier level, which have great excitement, so let's talk WNBA specifically for a second. The action, you know, they could put together a nice package, you know what I mean, as far as a commercial trying to sell the product. But how come more people are not drawn to that game or anything in the NFL or those
WNBA
games?
WNBA is easy. It's excitement.
Yeah, I was going to say that. I feel like the WNBA is kind of its own separate entity when it comes to that, because when it's the only thing you're comparing it to is the NBA for the most part. You're comparing it to this bigger brother, and the gap between the NBA and the WNBA is so large that you get so excited by watching the NBA, you can't watch the WNBA.
Yeah, it's like as a fan, we appreciate, like especially ballers, we appreciate good footwork,
yeah,
skill work, passing. We appreciate that shit.
Women have very good footwork.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But we really watch the games for the excitement.
The physicality.
For the physicality.
Yeah. I want to see somebody get banged on from 12 feet. Dunk I want to see somebody come down and get crossed.
Why he looks so happy? But look, though, because you know it's not a woman or a man thing, because you see when them highlights go, when the girls, I think it was Sue Bird dropped somebody, that went viral. Yeah. But that doesn't happen that much. In the NBA, that's happening every night. You've seen 3-4 highlights per game. So the WNBA, it's like, oh, I might see that every once in a while, but you're not seeing a dunk. You're not seeing an alley-oop.
Jared, let me put you on the spot with this question.
Yeah.
I don't know if this comes from you, Stan, or if this comes from Steve. But the theory is lower the basket so they can dunk. Lower it to 9.
Now, that actually might be
I mean, even for me, I can't even say that.
I mean, I don't think 9 would be like girls doing windmills, though. It would have to be like 8.
It'll take the league from 3%
dunks. I actually think that because
to 50.
Yeah, because they shrunk the ball. Why not lower the rim?
Exactly. That's my thing. Yeah. You talk about, oh, well, we don't want to be different.
The ball already is smaller. The corner three line is smaller than the NBA as well. So, I mean, you might as well do that. Might as well.
Wait, what do you think? Lower the basket to 8.
You can lower, but like I say, to me, I still
more girls getting dunked on.
That one thing won't make me just say.
Nah, definitely.
It won't make you, but it'll make.
But if you see a woman come down the lane and yam that thing,
it will bring more fans.
I mean, even watching, I don't think it'd bring more.
If a girl gets dunked on every night,
I watch it
every night. Gets dunked on.
It's just though.
You're
gonna
start watching.
It's just though, like, you know what I'm saying?
Remote,
like,
please.
In the NBA, every night you watch a game, all all 10 guys may not be Michael Jordan, but all 10 guys are athletic as hell. That's why they're on the squad. They could do something that's crazy. In the WNBA, your 6 or 7 female is just maybe a spot-up shooter or a rebound specialist. And it's like, I'm not really, you know, the game is cool, whatever, but
it's okay. Like I say, I'm falling asleep during it. You flipping the channel and, oh, hey.
Okay. It's just not, it's unattractive, honestly.
You know, and you move on. You go to the next station.
Listen, all right. All right, let's circle back to the live. And Tiger Woods, Stanley's favorite person for
Tiger
a second.
Fuck that dude.
Tiger is staying with the PGA Tour. Said he wants to finish his career with the PGA. And it just got me thinking about sports and about the end, because all things have to come to an end. So I'm going to start with you, Stanley. Do you remember, I know you still play actively now, but do you remember, actually, do you still play actively now? Because on your birthday, we had all that tequila and you couldn't even get on the court.
Hey, that's
but different. That's a different conversation.
He was just telling me about that story, too.
Do you remember when it was over? Like, when you, in your head, you were like, I'm done.
Yeah, I remember.
Talk to me.
I was in college. I was at Mary Washington. And I just realized, you know, I'm doing what I'm going to do for the rest of my life. And, like, we had an assistant coach that kept pumping, feeding me, I'll get you overseas. You're good enough to play overseas. Just come play with us for 2 years. And at that point, I was already like, yo, I've been lying to my whole life. Like, I'm going to work. And I was already doing what I'm doing now, you know, in the concert business. So I went back and I left school and I knew, you know, my career was over.
I can think that. I can think. You just look like you're getting a little emotional in your eyes.
No, son.
Yeah, I had to shake no.
it. It felt like something was on my cheek.
So hard to say.
Nah, I was cool with it. You know, I had some great fun with the game after my college career, you know, playing in men's leagues and, you know, now coaching and, you know, keeping the game in my life. So that's cool.
Wheezy.
Yeah.
We always tell you, well, you always tell the story that how we used to play back in the day. You would come up to Hayfield.
No, me and you never played, I told you.
Wait, you realized
it? Play.
I thought you said we played.
No, I told you.
I didn't want
to.
I never got to play.
You was the only person I never got to play. Okay. That's all.
Well,
went on with my black book. Like, I hate to this day.
As a young hooper.
Yeah.
When did you know it was time to do? We haven't really gotten to your story, and unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time. But when did you know it was time to like move on to do something different?
Damn, 90. Never. I mean, I guess my headaches. When I realized playing, I get like headaches, and I was like, "Damn, I can't."
So a physical thing for you?
Yeah, it just scared me. You know, it's like.
I beat Wheezy so bad, two on two, one time. I thought he was going to die. Like, seriously, he was guarding me. And those headaches, and I put that pressure on him, boy. I put that pressure on him. I thought he was going to die. He knows it's true. No matter what he says, whispers over there, he knows it's true.
All right, okay, we'll talk about that off mic. Jared, let's go to you. You got 1 minute.
Yeah, I mean, shoot. It's kind of like I went through it's like a double-edged sword, honestly, because I love the game, obviously. But I feel like basketball, because I was chasing trying to, like, make it or trying to get a D1 scholarship or trying to get to the league so much, I passed up on other opportunities that might have, like, made my life experience in college or just as a youngin' a lot better. So there was a point after I graduated where I just hated basketball. I wouldn't touch a rock. I wasn't really watching those sports. I didn't – because I just hated how like I felt like I should have went to HBCU, things like that. So I just went through a whole mental crisis for a long time about just like not playing no more or not being able to maximize how good I felt like I was. And even now when I play now, I feel like, man, if I was like this mentally back then, I would have been way, way, way nicer. So,
awesome.
You know, it's just a whatever, you know, then you just got to make your peace with it and take pride in the stuff you're doing now. And I can still hoop now, so I can still get it done.
No one here is challenging you, but that's going to lead us back into the music, which has become a very important part of your life. We'll be right back after this quick break.
This song's Sober Day.
And we're back. You guys have been listening to Thick Ass Threes. We're getting close to the end of this show. But before we go, Jared, we want to talk to you a little bit more about your about your music. Do you have anything out? What do the people need to know about your music to take you and your music to the next level?
Currently have three projects out right now. One's called See You Next Life. The other one's called Conflict of Interest. And the third one's called Quarantine. Actually, I'm sorry, I have a fourth project that I just dropped. It's called Count It All Joy. So that's my most recent one, the one I probably promote the most, you know. My Instagram, SwishCanMiss, as I said earlier, my Twitter, the link in my bio points to all my music. So you can get it on Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, Pandora. It's pretty much on everything. So in terms of that, what I got coming up next is Something in the Water's coming up, I believe, July 17th, around that time. That's Pharrell's concert. So I have like a performance spot there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, nothing big time, obviously. I'm not headlining anything.
Talk more about that. That's awesome.
Well, yeah, you know, I have my manager, Harlem. She's a songwriter from New York. So she, you know, has a lot of contacts and networks and like that. So she's been trying to get me on a performance slot for a while. So, you know, that just came with me having to put out more music, do little articles and things like that. So luckily she was able to work that out for me. So that's doing beautiful. That. And then I'm also doing Rolling Loud at the end of the next month as well. So
this is awesome.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to get a lot of footage of that and start really promoting my stuff on social media in anticipation of a project I'm dropping in the wintertime. So, you know, got some plans. Hopefully, you know, when you order it up and you manifest it, it should go the way it's expected. So
that's beautiful.
I'm excited about
that's
it.
That's beautiful. Stan, you got anything to add to that?
Nah, man, that's right. I'm proud beautiful. Of the young boy.
That's awesome.
Yeah, man, I'm glad. Speaking of which, I'm glad me and Stan reconnected. Just a sidebar, like, you know what I mean? I hadn't talked to him in a while. Then we seen each other on Instagram. It's like, man, coach, I'm in the area, man. Let me swing by and say what's up.
Yeah.
So
it's always good to have players.
Yeah.
You know, come back.
Yeah.
And, you know.
What's up with your string on your hoodie?
Hey, don't worry about my hoodie, bro.
I was thinking that too, though. I'm not gonna lie.
I've been staring at it the whole time.
Hey, man.
It's like them kids that be biting the string. It's DMV tees.
Don't.
Oh, now there ain't no string on my hoodie.
Hey, you're on another level because you're gonna hate that tomorrow.
Yeah, he is, though.
I don't even wear this that much.
God. All right. Well, we're gonna get out of here. We're going to close this show out. Once again, you guys have been listening to Thick Ass Threes. I'm your host, Cornell Felton. Before we go back around, make sure you guys follow us on Instagram, follow us on Twitter, and on TikTok at Thick Ass Threes. Hit all the likes, hit all the follows. We need your support. Thank you for all the support that you've already given us. Jarrett, before we go,
sir,
you have the final word. You can talk as much as you want. You can talk as little as you want.
Yeah.
Go.
Okay. Yeah, no, I mean, I'll just keep it sports related, though. I really wanted to touch on the Deshaun Watson situation, and not really his specific situation, but just brothers like Deshaun Watson, you know what I mean? Like, I was reading the New York Times article, and then on top of that, I read the deposition about when the prosecution was asking him the questions about just, you know, what was going on. I mean, the documented evidence that's just been laid out, even if he didn't commit anything criminal, such as, like, rape or anything like that, just him having to try to finesse women into sexual actions or like misleading them to think he was being professional and then trying to coerce them into doing things that was extremely inappropriate is just sick to me, honestly. And it's, I was saying something about it on Instagram, and then it was like guys, like grown men in my DMs defending him and like, oh, you don't know the whole story. The Browns would have never gave him $200 million if they didn't know what was going on. No, the Browns thought it was going to go away. You know, they took a risk thinking that what he had disclosed to them was the whole thing and not really what's coming to light. And you know, it's just sick to think about these people that are so talented and so, you know, blessed financially, they still resort to these kind of like belittling tactics and just not protecting our women in general. So, you know, I just wanted to touch on that because like if you feel like you need to defend Deshaun Watson or feel like anything that has been listed, even if it's not criminal, it's, you know, it's okay because it's not a criminal act. It's just wrong. You need to look at yourself in the mirror because harassing women, trying to coerce them into sex, or just being, you know, a deceitful person just ain't right. So that's my final word on that.
Love it. Stanley, sign out.
I'm with it. I love it.
Sign out.
I mean, what you want me to say? It's Thick Ass Threes. It's been a pleasure.
Absolutely.
We'll see you again real soon.
Absolutely. Wheezy.
Thank you for inviting me on the show.
We're out of here, please.
Oh, thank you.
Oh shit. Let me spit a little something.
Got a little something because I got bars now in third grade. I did a thing about toothpaste and that shit went viral.
I spit a little something. This is a little shit I was working on.
Whenever you're ready. Mm-hmm. You got about 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's only like 40 something seconds.
Go. Your world.
And play a little beat. Hold on.
Do your thing. Weezy, you can't rap though. I know that about you.
Nah, it's been a minute.
It's too loud.
No, I want it to be louder.
Oh.
Hold it up to the mic.
Hold on. You want me to put it in this mic so you can just rap, or is that good?
Yeah, nah, I can hold it right here. Let me start over. Okay. Yeah, nah, it's just a little beat. I mean,
can
shit.
That man just do what he needs to do to get to his goals?
He about to do it right now?
Yeah. All right. Hated it, love it. I set my family up for life that I was planning the budget. Got my stripes and found a lion when I ran through the jungle. Tell the truth, cause I be lying if I plan to be humble. Blowing trees, filling leaves, I would stand for the sum. Not weigh the package out before I put my stamp into some. Know my rights without a question, I don't answer to no one. Peace letters up together like a ransom or something. Yeah, may peace be with you. Peach tree visual reflecting off of my mental. Street sweet issues beneath the thread of a tissue. The family, all that matters, I'm always with. But that's all I got right now.
And we're out. Peace.